Welcome to the Property Elite podcast. I'll be your host, Jen Lehman, chartered surveyor and co-founder of Property Elite. Stay tuned each week for more on industry hot topics, market updates, and new RICS guidance. In this week's podcast, I take a look at what to consider if you're advising a client on a surrender and renewal of a commercial property, particularly in relation to the stamp duty land tax implications. This will be interesting listening for APC and ASOT RICS candidates who have a landlord and tenant and or leasing letting as a technical competency. During the term of a lease, the parties may agree to simultaneously surrender the existing lease and agree a new lease on modified terms. The existing lease is replaced with a new lease commencing now. In some cases, this may mean that a previous tenant is released from their liabilities, either earlier than they would be under other options. Care also needs to be taken in relation to any guarantees under the existing lease when granting a new lease, in addition to the position on security of tenure. As such, there are alternatives to a surrender and regrant, including waiting until lease expiry to modify the lease terms, lease renewal, agreeing a reversion release, so a lease with a future commencement date, which is agreed now. So it could, for example, commence in 5 years' time upon expiry of the current lease with a day one rent review. These have been typically the preferred option. Varying the lease midterm by way of a deed of variation, so a lease regear or lease re-engineering. So there's a myriad of issues to consider when advising a client on a surrender and renewal, including the impact on security of tenure under Part 2 of the Landlord and Tenant Act 1954, modified lease terms, the impact on investment value for the landlord, the tenant's business plan, the landlord's holding strategy for the property or property investment, alternative options available in the pros and cons of each, marriage value created by the agreement of the new lease, i.e. how do you value the benefits to each party, the rental level and how this compares to market rent, the intentions of each party, so does the surrender and renewal created meet both parties' objectives? This is essentially the why behind the transaction. And finally, the SDLT liability, and more on this soon. In all scenarios, liaising with your client's legal advisor and ensuring your client takes the right legal advice is essential. So what are the SDLT implications of a surrender and renewal? SDLT replaced stamp duty in 2003, which meant that a historical barrier to utilising surrender and regrants was removed. Where the existing lease is subject to stamp duty land tax, if the lease is surrendered, then overlap relief applies upon grant of a new lease of substantially the same premises. This doesn't apply if the existing lease was not subject to stamp duty land tax. Overlap relief applies because the two lease terms overlap, so stamp duty land tax would otherwise be double counted and overpaid. However, before we delve into the detail of why this might be beneficial, let's take a look at how stamp duty land tax is calculated on leasehold interests. Stamp duty land tax for non-residential, i.e. commercial, leasehold properties is based on the sum of the lease premium and net present value, NPV, of the total rent over the lease term. NPV is banded for SDLT purposes, so 0% for an NPV of £0 to £150,000, 1% then from £1,000 to £50,001 to £5 million, 2% over £5 million. HMRC have a useful stamp duty land tax calculator online, which you can use for simple calculations. However, a manual calculation is always required for more complex scenarios such as a surrender and regrant, so always ensure that your client checks the exact liability with their legal advisor. So based on an example, the stamp duty liability would be lower for a surrender and regrant of a new tenure lease with overlap relief applying compared to a 5-year reversion release where overlap relief does not apply. At a rent of £50,000 per annum, the difference would be 35%, and this increases if the rent is higher. If the existing lease was subject to stamp duty rather than SDLT, however, the liability would be much higher and a surrender and regrant may not be the right strategy to pursue. Furthermore, the SDLT calculation is not revisited for a surrender and regrant if a rent review is undertaken during the new lease term. For example, at year 5 in the above 10-year lease example. By comparison, the SDLT calculation for a reversion release is revisited when any day one rent review is agreed, which can further increase the liability and creates uncertainty over the total SDLT payment. Apart from the reduced SDLT liability due to overlap relief, a surrender and regrant may be preferable as it creates a simple lease structure and clear documentation. A reversion release, on the other hand, creates an additional document which needs to be referred to during the term of the existing and new leases. Thanks for listening to the Property Elite podcast this week. Head to our website to check out our full blog, free and paid support resources and services, free consultation for every single RICS APC and ASOC RICS candidate, and also ask us any questions you have via the website chat blog. See you next week.